The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 326 of the 9 Years podcast, coming to you on Saturday morning. We hope a little bit delayed this week so we could take in the end of the transfer window, and there's a little bit of news, I guess, to talk about. Movement was the word I was looking for. There we go. A couple of ins, a couple of outs. Anyway, I'm Nick Draper. I'm joined as always by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week. We will, of course, be talking about the game at Chelsea on Wednesday, the draw with Forest Green last week, and looking ahead as quickly as we can to squeeze this in before kickoff against Newport County later today, as we record this Aaron Sasupa match game as well. But Stu, let's begin with transfer deadline day. Two new acquisitions, both on loan. Charlie Lakin from Burton Albion until January. Connor Evans from Stockport for the duration of the season. Both midfielders. These do not strike me as transformative signings. They strike me as added squad depth signings.
Yeah, spot on. I think it is surprising. I think we were hoping possibly to get another striker in, maybe. And that might have been what we were trying, you know, transfer deadline day. We also, you know, it's mad, isn't it? You know, it's like you wait for the last possible day to sell and buy. As if it makes it more fun. Surely it makes it more stressful. Loads and loads of activity, even to the extent where, you know, Peterborough last night they basically allowed Clark Harris to speak to Bristol Rovers, apparently, and it all fell through. Well, yeah, I'm not surprised. At 9:30 at night when the deadline is, you know, 11 o'clock. So I don't know why people wait to the last minute. It does seem stupid. But yeah, it looks to me like Lakin definitely looks like a deal to the end of, to the January window. So that definitely looks like a squad depth. And Cor Evans, to be fair, looks a decent one. Of course, we are now Stockport B officially, or it feels like Stockport are just offloading all the players they don't want. Well, that's good, because at the moment, the two we had in already look decent. So Stockport must have some team, and I'm dreading them coming to Plough Lane in a week's time.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game next Saturday, I think, and they'll be looking for a bit of revenge, because their losses to Plough Lane was, of course, the last time we won on a Saturday at Plough Lane, and that was back in January. So wouldn't it be something if, you know, we ended this long barren run without a Saturday home win against a team that we last beat at home on a Saturday? We'll come on to that more next week, I'm sure. The only thing about this transfer window, well, there's lots of things about this transfer window that I don't like, but this year in particular, I understand the window shut at 11 o'clock on Friday evening, and yet you've got a full programme of fixtures on the Saturday. It just seems an added thing to try and mess up all your sort of planning and preparations. I mean, Newport for us, well, actually, let's talk about more in a minute. I'm just looking at the fixtures tomorrow, and some of these clubs that have got long distances to travel, I'm sure they don't want to be bothering with having to deal with potential ins and outs and bids for players at, you know, 10 o'clock the night before a game. But Newport, for us especially, is a difficult one, because I don't know how much prep we got for it anyway, given we played on Wednesday. I assume we didn't train on Thursday because of that. And
no,
then we have to travel.
Yeah, I think we had a rest day, didn't travel. I'm not too sure where they travelled to Newport and got a training session in and stuff like that. But you're right. That's my concern for today's game, to be fair, because how much recovery time have we had? Just to be fair, we played a Premier League team at a pace that was probably higher than what we were used to in a league game, all that nervous energy and all that sort of stuff. So you have to wonder how we are recovering. So I think team news is going to be really important. You know, can we chuck both these players into the squad possibly? I know you don't normally like to do that if they haven't had a training session. But yeah, I don't get why you have a Friday. Because surely, you know, if we say players don't get affected by transfer, of course they must do. So, you know, if your agent is contacting you going, such and such, such and such, such and such, that surely impacts your preparation for what, you know, let's be fair, Newport game is a tough game. It's fifth versus sixth. So, yeah, I'm hoping that hasn't unsettled us. But I don't understand why the window shut didn't shut on Thursday night, which was because I thought initially that the transfer window shut on the Thursday because that was the end
Same.
of August.
Yeah, same.
But of course, you know, and then David Moyes also have a complaint about that he was they were playing on the Friday night and that impacted him. Well, they did in the end, it impacted him massively anyway.
No, but there's lots of things that don't really make sense about transfer window, to be honest with you. And hopefully it hasn't upset or unsettled someone like Ali Alhamady, who was the subject of interest from Barnsley and Peterborough, we understand. And from what we understand, which is a bit of a horrible word, sorry, Aaron Paul. If a bid of a certain amount had come in for him, then we would have opened negotiations. Now, that bid didn't arrive by the sounds of it, but Ali must also know that. So he must be waiting around thinking, well, if they actually come back in with something more than they already have done, there's a chance I could be off. And you don't know how that plays into things. And you don't know where his head is at the moment, otherwise, anyway, because of his start of the season. But hey, what we can't do anything about that now. We can only focus on Newport again today, wake up this morning, and all we can think about is, yeah, getting 3 points at a very tricky
Yeah.
fixture.
Well, I suppose the flip side to it is if you want to look at the positive, is the window's shut now, so he can concentrate. Because it's not as if it's just been one day that there's been activity. There's been rumoured interest from Barnsley and Peterborough throughout the window, isn't there? So I suppose in a way we can put it to bed now and go, right, you're with us now until at least January. Because I think Ali will be a centre of attention in terms of teams trying to prize him away. Every window, I expect him to start scoring and you know, be a player that will attract attention. But a good thing for us, if he starts scoring goals, which I'm sure he will, but no doubts about that, it means that we will be doing reasonably well.
Yeah, my only concern is, I don't know if concern is the right word, but I did think in the summer I'd have accepted a bid for him. I'd worry that his value will never be as high as it is now. Now, you say if he can get back scoring goals, then obviously it will go back up again. But he was on such a run at the end of last season. And that's the bids, if they're true, what the numbers we've heard that have come in that we have said no to, they're still big money. Do you know what I mean? For a League Two player. So I just worry that we don't want to have perhaps missed that. But anyway, we shall see. Hopefully, Ali will just get back in the goals as quickly as possible and we'll all be laughing come January and won't have to worry.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? I think it reminds me a little bit, you know, obviously back in the Wimbledon days when we'd have a player come through from our academy and we'd get a season, 2 seasons out of them, then we'd sell them. You know, and we always knew we were going to sell them, but you also knew that you'd get a chance to see that player in a Wimbledon shirt and do the business and then get a move to further their career. And I suppose, yeah, do you know what? My head sort of said we must sell. If someone hits a bid, you know, someone hits over £1 million rumoured. That's a lot of money for us when bearing in mind we're still paying off the debt. But then the flip side is we haven't really had the opportunity to see Ali fully. We haven't really enjoyed him in a Wimbledon shirt. So it's one of those, isn't it? Do you know, you don't want to sell your best players. But I do you know what? I'm confident if he scores goals in this period before the next window, his stock will still be high. Again, it'll be a great conundrum if we are doing well, and then bids come in. Do we say, well, actually, we want to try and head on for a playoffs, or God forbid, I say a promotion, or do we sell? So it's an interesting, but it's a bit, Joel, it's a good problem to have because let's be fair, we've lost players for nothing in these windows before, haven't we? So it's probably a nice thing that we're discussing about us turning down potentially a very attractive bid.
And someone we lost in the summer for nothing was Ethan Chislett, who has started very well at Port Vale. I feel like it is worth mentioning. Anyway, otherwise in the transfer window, Nathan Broome, as we know, has left. He's now picked up a 2-year deal at Swansea. And Ben Mason's gone out on loan to Braintree Town, and that was it. So otherwise, we're just waiting on, as we said earlier, the midfielders that we brought in perhaps as cover, because last week we had injuries to Jake Rees and Armani Little, and we wait to hear the extent of those two. Neither of them were involved in any way, shape, or form on Wednesday against Chelsea. And I suppose we should talk about the Chelsea game. And I think, as I said over the last couple of days, I don't think stepping inside Stamford Bridge to watch Wimbledon lose to Chelsea has ever been as much fun and will never be as much fun as that was on Wednesday, purely just because of the atmosphere we generated and the fact we made a game of it. And you know what, Stu, if we'd have got. And I won't run through the lineups and the scores and what happened because I think everyone knows by now. But if we'd have kept it 1-0 to half time, if we'd have got through to half time, you do just wonder. You do just wonder. But oh well. That's the difference, isn't it? Difference between Premier League and League Two is at the end of the day, two mistakes cost us two goals.
Yeah, and you know what? When you're playing against that level, mistakes happen, don't they? And hey, look, I've seen enough people saying that, yeah, and Alex Pearce should have dived in on the touchline. But my argument is that you don't play against that quality and pace normally in League Two, and it wears you, and it does wear you down, you know, mentally, or making the right decisions all the time. And it's still the same with Alex Bass. You know, we don't expect him to make that sort of mistake in a league game. But when you're under the cosh and you're constantly having, you know, we had to raise our performance and our concentration levels massively. And then Chelsea just won. I think what the frustrating thing is that yes, we have forced them to bring on hundreds of millions of pounds worth of talent, but it's just frustrating. You wonder if we played against that starting 11 without those internationals coming on the pitch, what it would have been. But fair play to us. We forced them into that decision, and we didn't embarrass ourselves, which, you know, look, we're unbeaten still in the league. We're not unbeaten now in the season, but we can come away from Chelsea with a lot of confidence that we can dig in. And if we play against that, if we played at them levels, then we've got a really good season ahead of us.
Yeah, and I think also we forget that you could argue we started that game and we started on Wednesday night without, and there's an argument to say five of our best six players. And I think that's probably fair because I'd say I'd put Alex Bass in our top six players in the current team. And then you'd say Curry, Billa, Reeves, Little, Ali, none of them started.
Neither am I either.
No, Bougill either. Seemed to be sort of, we seemed to play like a 4-2-3-1, didn't we, with Morgan Williams. I mean, Morgan Williams, geez, what to make your debut, your first team debut, and perform with that level of maturity and composure. Like, yeah, I mean, we won't hold on to him very long, I don't think. But yeah, you do wonder if you know what I'm saying. Basically, we went at full
I agree.
strength, and I think that probably showed as well in certain instances as well. When Ali comes on, that second half, even though, like I said, if we'd got to 1-0 at half time, who knows? But even at 1-1, that second half was more of a game than I was expecting it to. And we had moments. Okay, there weren't very many, but we had Ali go through once with a chance. Ali right at the end has a chance. We had moments. We, as you say, we weren't embarrassed at all. We put on a great show. I fucking hate Chelsea's G. I mean, the point, honestly.
I wondered how long it was going to take for you to come out of that line.
Do you know, can I just say, right, two things I'll say about Chelsea in sort of more positive terms, right? First thing is their program put the teams on the back cover. Even fucking Chelsea can manage this.
Old school, old school, old school.
Even Chelsea can manage this one. And then the other thing I'd say is in said program, Mark Robinson, right? Mark Robinson is far too good for Chelsea. Like, I don't understand. Doesn't make any sense to me, but he's far too good for Chelsea. He wrote an excellent program article in which he finished it off by remembering Dave McKnight. And I just thought that's just Robbo all over, isn't it? It's just like, just class.
It's Robbo is about people. That's what Robbo's always been about, and you're right. It's funny actually, I let you into eating. I still chat to Robbo quite a lot, and he messaged me on Thursday morning and said, we look so organized. I was amazed how organized we were. And then he come back and put an underneath, sorry, you look so organized. He still speaks about it as a
Yeah, he does,
we. But he said everyone was impressed with how organized we were in terms of defensively and stuff like that, which is great, you know, which is great from that side. But hey, look, he's a gentleman, isn't he? You know, Robbo. And I still do get frustrated when people measure his performance or career of us on these last bit of the season before he got dismissed, and forget sometimes all the good stuff he did, even in his first season. So he's a good man. I think he demonstrated that on Wednesday night even more.
One point I have to make about the so Chelsea, like, so this Enzo Fernandez, he scores the winning goal, right? I don't have the foggiest idea who he is. Not a clue. It was only the day after. It was honestly the only the day after that I found out that he's won the World Cup. So I didn't watch the World Cup. I had no interest whatsoever. So I didn't realize he won the World Cup and he's like is he the second most expensive signing or something? And then Caicedo is the highest signing, and they
100.
both cost over £100 million, right?
Yeah.
And I've made this point on Twitter, and I will just elaborate on it slightly. So, people saying, oh, Chelsea need to bring off £200 million worth of talent off the bench to win the game, da, da, da. That £200 million figure is entirely meaningless. These sums of money are arbitrary. They have no correlation to anything whatsoever. Football has gone so absurd. Are you honestly telling me if they had a player, I think I heard on the highlights, their centre half, their number two, who, again, he won pretty much every battle he was involved in. He cost something like 40 million or something ridiculous. What's the difference between spending £40 million on a footballer and £106 million on a footballer? Like, what are you honestly telling me? There's something in that £66 million difference? No, it's just meaningless bullshit numbers that have no grounding in any sort of reality. There's no tangible, actual, there's no objective measure of this whatsoever. It's just somehow somebody somewhere has thought, well, we're just charging this amount of money, and for some reason, we think this isn't morally reprehensible. But that's a whole other argument and a whole other debate for another day. But my metaphor with this, Stu, is basically like if I go into Kingston and I buy a pair of shoes, okay, if I spend £80 on a pair of shoes, I know that that pair of shoes is going to be a quality pair of shoes. It's going to last me a long, long time. If I spend £20 on a pair of shoes, I know I'm probably going to have to buy another pair in 6 months. Okay, there is an obvious, objective measure of the money you are spending there. These millions of pounds worth of sums are just—they don't mean anything. And then, as an aside, transfer window was shut yesterday. Premier League spent 2.4 billion. Someone's going to go 2.36 million, 2.4 billion pounds on transfers. What the fuck are we doing, Stu? Honestly. I don't understand how this escapes any sort of censure from the public. Like, I don't understand why we still go along with this. This is just nonsense.
Yeah,
Imagine what you could do
no.
with all that sum of money. What you are doing, and I've used this analogy before, and I keep using it because it's the best explanation. And sorry, I was one more thing on this. Essentially, what this is big, rich businessmen who are spending money for the right for another human being to kick a football in a different coloured shirt. That's all it is when you boil it down. And it's insanity that the world and the media and TV all go along with it. And to make another point as well, sorry, I was speaking to this about an Arsenal fan at work when I went in on Thursday, and he was agreeing with me, saying, yeah, it is absurd, da, da, da. And he says, well, look at someone like Declan Rice. Has he signed for Arsenal for something like £100 million?
Yeah.
And then he turns around and he says, so he said, yeah, Declan Rice costs 100 million, and he's not setting the world alight. I was like, it doesn't matter if he's setting the world alight or not. It's absurd whether he was scoring a hat trick every game or not. It's absurd that anyone should think that anyone should be spending £100 million of money for a human. But this is like, this is, people can be offended by this. This is essentially the slave trade in 2023. You are trading human beings, and all you're doing is doing it so they can kick a ball in what is essentially everyone. I'm going to go on a, sorry, this is going to be a really long rant now, but essentially, this is all fucking pointless. Mauricio Pochettino on the touchline, how much has he paid? Millions of pounds a year to manage a football team. It's an essentially pointless job. The joy of football is in the camaraderie of going with your mates and your family to go and get behind something for 90 minutes on a Saturday, sing some songs. It brings communities together. The actual nonsense about spending millions and millions of pounds a player because they're technically better and they've got this attribute and da da da, and this manager's great because he creates a system in which they get more final third entries and they have 86% possession. It's all bollocks. The reason people are football fans is they go for the moments. Nobody Wimbledon fan there on Wednesday was thinking anything other. We want to go for a moment. We want to go and sing a song. We want to be together. We want to put on a united front, and we want to have a moment, which we got. We don't care. All the other stuff is secondary to that. And yet all that other stuff, especially when you look at the football media and the commentary and the pundits and stuff, they all focus on that side of it, which is not what football is when you boil it down to it. If football was about that, it would make no difference whatsoever if we moved to Milton Keynes or not. Do you see what I mean? It totally lost perspective on what football is, and it winds me the fuck up. Anyway, that's my rant for today. I hate the Premier League. I hate Chelsea. And yeah, sorry, I'll go and have a lie down.
There's a lot to unpick from that. It's interesting, John. I've been watching the Burnley documentary that's on Sky, which follows Vincent Kompany's promotion season. And you know, when you just say about Pochettino, it's interesting because he was talking to the board and he was going, you know, you can have as good as coach as you want as I am, but I need good players with it. And then he sort of underplays it. He goes, but actually, you can have a bad coach and really good players, and they still win things. And I'm like, of course it is. In terms of, he's very much about. And it's a really, if you haven't had a chance to watch it, it's a really interesting documentary. In terms of channeling how the new owners are spending money and how they don't realise that actually they have to spend a lot of money in the championship compared to their revenue, which is what we see that everywhere, don't we, in terms of that. But yeah, look, the transfer money is, 100 million is what that player's worth to another a club to sell. I think we know that. But equally, do you know what? I think in a way, Premier League fans have gone away from actually how much money it is.
They don't understand it. It's too big.
But I think what it is like monopoly money, is it? It doesn't feel like
Yeah.
it doesn't. I remember listening to I remember during a COVID when COVID hit, and I remember listening to TalkSport. And a player, and I was talking about how there was no money coming into the game and how a club's going to survive. And then one fan came in and said, yeah, but I think, Villa needs to spend at least 80 million quid on players, you see. And I'm sitting there going, one second, if you just, the world is literally shut. We're getting, money from the government to keep us in. And it's like, I think, that Declan Rudd thing, what you're saying, is 100 million pound, it's just. No one quantifies it. Quantify 100 million pounds would pay for us to finish Power Lane. 100 million pounds would probably give us a budget, the current budget for 50 years.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I think Premier League fans don't want to hear what that the money is. It's just like, well, 100 million pounds compared to the £1 billion deals that all the clubs are getting. I think it's just a case that they're getting so much money. They just want to spend it. The Chelsea thing is unbelievable. I've read interesting things with Chelsea about they're buying players up on long contracts because they feel that players now fans nowadays associate with players rather than associate with squads. It's
Nonsense.
a really interesting thing of how they're looking at it. But can they afford to lose £1 billion? They spent like 4 billion, didn't they, on the club? But I didn't go on Wednesday night, and I was quite open. The reason I didn't go is I just didn't want to be around fake Premier League fans and all what. I just didn't really want it to. I wanted to see I wanted to see the club do well, but I didn't want to be around it. And interestingly, when I chatted to people, they actually said, "Yeah, that's what we come across." But the atmosphere was great. But how as a Chelsea fan, how do you reason it? Yeah, you're spending what 20, 30 quid to get into the stadium. For that game, and you've got players coming 100, and you're celebrating players that you're spending hundreds of millions of
Yeah,
pounds
I
to
don't get
play.
it. Yeah, I know. I don't
I
understand
think
it.
it's just, I think what it is, the moment you walk into a Premier League ground, your brain leaves your body for 90 minutes, and you just pretend you're in a fantasy world. And maybe that's what they want, maybe that's what they need. But it really is crazy. And I still think, not enough money drip feeds down to the lower leagues. And when you think about the money, I'm not saying that shit loads of money should drip down, but when you think about what they are paying, and to give you a funny thing, £150 million wasn't enough for Liverpool to sell Mo Salah.
Yeah, I know.
£150 million.
It's
Like,
ridiculous.
what are we, what, you know, when someone turns down 150 million quid, it's just, I think, and like I say, I think Sky Sports and all the other channels that, do a transfer deadline day. They're amazed by the numbers, but I think if you just sat back and think what that could do for just generally, generally doctors, nurses, school teachers, all
Oh,
that sort of,
everything, Stuart. Just everything.
I just don't realize. I think, and do you know what? Yeah, I think it's why I'm glad we're not in the Premier League anymore. I just don't know how to deal with having to support. How would I support? Just for sake, if Ali was in the Premier League, just surmise we're in the Premier League, Ali's a Premier League striker. And he misses that chance against Forest Green. I would be literally going, you need to like pay us back, or how can you be paid that extortionate amount of money?
Yeah.
However, they are just footballers. They go for a shit the same as us. They bleed the same as us, and they probably walk to the supermarket the same as us. But
Yep.
yeah, it's ridiculous. You got me ranting now. Anyway.
No, you've made the point exactly there. They're just human beings like the rest of us, sir. And do you know what? Erling Haaland, how much is he paid? Like, and football has foot people joke about it, and actually some people celebrate this, go, football is a religion, and people go, yes, football is a religion. I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing sometimes. But anyway, that is my philosophical rant over with. We shall concentrate, like I said, on the highlights of Wednesday night, like I said before, Stu, which is what football is about. It's about bringing people together in a united cause, celebrate and have a good time and have fun and whatever. And that's what we did. And I think, yeah, it was a fun fun evening despite losing with the mistakes. And I'll tell you what as well, for that second goal, as the ball goes through to Alex Bass, I don't know about anyone else watching live, but at the time as it's going through to him, there's me thinking he should just kick this straight out of play, but I didn't want him to. I didn't want him to give him a throw, and I thought, try and get this back up the pitch and try and turn them round again. And I think he probably was thinking the same thing and probably got himself caught between two stools and therefore maybe lost a little bit of concentration, maybe, and that's why he misses on the kick. But anyway.
Yeah, and do you know what? Because of the start he's had this season, we are looking and going, he doesn't make errors. He just doesn't. Hey, but we have to accept he's a League Two goalkeeper,
Yeah.
and errors will happen. I didn't understand why he was so far out, if I'm being honest with you. I thought he could have probably let it come back a little bit. But again, I think that's the nervous energy that, you feel you have to be on your. We had to perform at a level that is beyond us for a period of time. And I still think we're going to see an impact on that. Morgan Williams, I've heard people say he must start today against Notts County. Morgan, Joe, when contracts were offered and Morgan signed his contract, that was probably the best bit of business we'd done in the summer with Jake Reeves and stuff like that. Because I've seen Morgan Williams enough times to realise that. And I think you said a mature performance. That is genuinely what he is. He's a very mature guy for the age he is. And I think we've got a hell of a player on our hands. We just have to make sure we manage him correctly. That's all. But he is definitely a talent, but he's only 18. But yeah, I'm not surprised he performed the way he did. But I think we've got a hell of a job keeping these players. They're in the squad already, and we've got to try and find a way of managing their game time, but also keeping them motivated. But he's definitely a star for the future.
Yeah, we have a few, don't we? And we've got to mention as well. I will mention Isaac, who I think since the start of the season has just come on, just in the space of a month. In performance has improved every time for me. And we do have to talk about. And obviously, we haven't even mentioned James Teddie, who puts away the penalty with no, there was no concerns that he was going to miss that penalty for me.
No, no pressure.
No, and he had a long time to wait as well because Harry was being treated for a while, so pressure was building. But
Was
yeah, just
that Harry wasn't even injured? If you
I know
watch,
he
if you
wasn't. I know
watch,
he wasn't.
if you watch the footage, I think Johnson, Joe Lewis, Avawonda, have a little chat with him. They realise he's taking the piss, and they wander off.
Yeah.
There is no way he's. But that's Harry Bell. But you know what? It was a pen. It was a pen. There's a great picture of Sanchez looking like Superman trying to punch the ball.
Yeah.
It's a great picture. But again, do you know what? The actual height we have now is impressive. And we'll do as well for Lee too.
Well, this is the thing you're looking at. As to tell you who else as well, when you see the ability that or we have in certain areas, ability for lead two, what I mean is, but pace as well. And you think if we can get Nerval getting space to run in behind, Ali in behind, Boob, do you know what I mean? We've got lead two, I tell you. We could be having a really good season, but we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. Like I was trying to say before the Forest Green game, because everyone was convinced we just were turning up on Saturday to beat Forest Green without any issue. We did have enough chances in the last after they equalised, and when they equalised, I thought they deserved their equaliser. I thought fair enough. Do you know what? On the balance of play, I didn't think we played that well at all. I don't think Harry Pell and James Ball as a midfield pairing are gonna work, and they had to because the injuries to Reeves and Little it didn't work. I know people have said that they were impressed with Ball. I think. For long spells that second half, I think there was big gaps in midfield. So I think maybe when he got on the ball, he moved it around quite nicely and passed some nice passes. But I think there was big gaps in that midfield for long spells of that second half. And they got the equaliser. But then after that, how many chances? And Ali actually, before they equalised, Ali goes through 1-1, like you referenced earlier, and skies it halfway to Earlswood Station. And you're just kind of like, we had in that last 10 minutes, we had enough chances to win the game. But maybe on the balance of the whole game, we didn't play well enough to get a win. I don't know.
Do you know what's interesting? Because we look at the stats still suggest that we had enough chances to win that game. But I think it's probably a testament to our performance levels. We haven't won games by just your goal, flukes, not flukes, Johnny, you know, with set plays and stuff like that. We've actually played really well. So I think it's probably a testament to that side of it. The thing with Ali, right, is he's not scoring goals, but he's doing everything but scoring goals. The first touch from the long kick from Alex Bass, the first touch out of his feet. He's performing at levels. I don't think his levels are any different to what they were last season. The difference is he's just not putting the ball away. But I'm more than confident with Ali, more than confident. Interesting what you said about the two midfield. I thought we had been overrun most of the game in the midfield areas, even when Jake Reeves and Amani were on. And simply the way we set up, it felt to me that Forest Green looked to overload in the middle areas and we looked to overload in the wide areas. And it felt to me it was a case of just who won the overloads. And I was convinced that if you're going to let James Tilley and Nerville have the ball, then that's silly. And in a way, it could have worked out. But yeah, I was disappointed we didn't win the game simply because we were leading. But there's so much to be excited about with this team. And that was before the Chelsea game, wasn't it? So, now the window's shut. We've had an amazing window. And now it's just literally settling down for, as you just said before, the league itself looks just a tough league.
It is a tough division, and it is still really, really early days. So let's not get carried away. Interesting, I noticed, just very quickly because we're running out of time, but elsewhere in League Two last week, we saw Harrogate beat Morecambe 2-0 with Luke Armstrong scoring for them. But I see he has now gone to Wrexham. So as we discussed a few weeks ago about Harrogate and whether they're struggling, especially losing Armstrong, who is their main man, basically, I think they could be in a little bit of trouble. Also wondered how much game time Ollie Palmer's got, but we'll let them worry about that.
You were reading my mind. I was thinking that he obviously goes down the pecking order, doesn't he? But hey, Wrexham just signed everyone, don't they? It was just, yeah, interestingly. My score was Colchester winning at Gillingham,
Yeah, of course, yeah.
3-0. Gillingham had exceeded a goal, I think we commented on it. And it's like anything, when you haven't exceeded one, you just exceed all of them. But you wonder how good the result was against Colchester. This is the thing, the league's still taking shape, isn't it? So some of the results we've got actually might look even better than that. But yeah, Harrogate, although he's gone from a really posh place to Wrexham, he's going to notice the difference.
Oh, automatically he will do. Yeah. And you know how much we've said Newport in years gone past on this podcast is the worst, literally is the worst place of, I mean, apart from Milton Keynes, obviously, but the worst place I've ever been to in the football league. But I promise you, no, Stamford Bridge wins that one hands down every single time. As you're walking in, because it's their home end that we are walking into, you see pictures of John Terry hung up on the sides and stuff like that, and thinking, oh, what a horrible, horrible human being he is. But anyway, very quickly, Stu, we are running out of time. Our connection is a little bit dodgy as well. Aaron, our super match game is a really, really straightforward, simple one. All right, fill in the blanks. So on Wednesday, James Tilley became the first Wimbledon player to score at Stamford Bridge since blank blank in the year 2000.
Marcus Gale.
No. I'll give you a clue. He cost us a few million pounds in that final Premier League season, and that was his only season with us.
John, no, I was to say John Hartson. No, not John Hartson. Dean Holmes. No, I know. It's not. I can't even think. What's going on? Two goal scorers in that. What game was it? No. Yeah,
No.
I'm with you.
It's the answer. The last player to score at Stamford Bridge for Wimbledon before James Tilley. Somebody's going to say something about that stupid B team trophy. We're not counting that. Was Andreas Lund?
No way.
Yeah, he puts 1-0 up against Chelsea with about 20 minutes to go. We ended up losing 3-1. But yeah, there you go. Anyway, that was that.
Wow.
So
I forgot about it.
from one pile of poo to Rodney Parade. Newport County playing later today. Last season, they finished 15th. They are currently sixth, but as we said, it's super early days. Graham Coughlan is their manager, formerly of Bristol Rovers. Ryan Delaney and Shane McLaughlin are both there now, former Wimbledon players. They lost in the week to Brentford. They took them to penalties in the League Cup, but they were at home and they scored a very late equaliser there. That was on Tuesday, so they've had an extra day's rest. They have played a 2-1-2 at home in the league so far this season. So, Stu, I think it's a tough game. I will go and say we will eke only because will they get 3 wins out of 3 at home in the league? I'm not so sure. So, let's say we cancel each other out and it's a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, do you know what? It's interesting. I think I've just looked at stats. I think we I think we haven't. No, where's
We
this
haven't,
stat?
yeah, we haven't conceded away from home yet in the league.
In three games.
Yeah.
We won the last two.
Yeah.
It's a tough game. It's a tough game. They're a bit indifferent in terms of when they get beat, they get beat. Well, that makes no Oscar they get beat. You know what I mean? When they get beat, they get knocked out of sight. Yeah, Joe, I'm reasonably confident. I'm reasonably confident. But I think that's just because generally the team, I think we could go there and win 1-0.
Oh, bold, bold prediction. We shall see. Elsewhere, I've picked out Notts County versus Accrington Stanley, just because aside from a opening day humbling at Sutton, Notts County have picked up and started well. I think they will do very well this season. And Accrington have started well after relegation. So, interesting fixture.
Yeah, there's a few, isn't there? Notts County, Accrington, both started well, and probably Mansfield, Bradford. I don't know what I said there, but
Yeah,
yeah.
just me. It was just me going on about Notts County Accrington being an interesting start to the season, and you were just like, "Yeah, there's a few Notts County Accrington
Oh,
as well."
it shows you I can't multitask. Yeah, do you know what I just noticed? Forest Green have got to come down to South London again. They're at Sutton United. Today, but yeah, and Mansfield Bradford just sent me Bradford again, spent some money in the transfer window. And Mansfield strong anyway, so and I'm just trying to think Stockport at home to Crawley. How good must Stockport be with the players they're letting go? Like, it does feel weird. Two lone players from Stockport. I wonder if Craig Cope has got some relatives up in the Manchester area,
Quite
scouting
no,
for us,
maybe,
but yeah.
maybe. But they've only won one game so far this season, so you would
And
expect they will beat Crawley, though.
Joe, I just noticed Tranmere Wrexham is a 12:30 kickoff today.
Is that
Is that
because it?
a
No,
local
that.
derby?
Well,
Sort
I
of, isn't it?
sort of, yeah,
Is it
but
like a, is that like a pomp is it like a Portsmouth Plymouth sort of
no,
game? So
no. I
it's
mean, I think Tranmere Wrexham is a little bit closer than Portsmouth and Plymouth, but I would say that there's also an. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a crowd issue potentially there, but maybe also some international broadcasting. I will just leave that one there because we are out of time. So I'm gonna have to sign off very, very quickly and say thank you very much, Stu, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone for putting up with my philosophical rantings for this week. We will sign off updates on Twitter for the latest today at 9YRS podcast, of course. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Fucking hate Chelsea. We shall speak to you again next week.